to the Real Jaws Minute. I am Jeremy Sternhagen.
I'm Tyson Ferris.
And we are here talking about Jaws 2. We are 1 hour and 36 minutes into this bad boy, and we are going to finish talking about this 1978 sequel to the movie Jaws. So we're at 1 hour and 36 minutes into this movie, and the teenagers are in a bad way, and Brody's looking for them.
All hope is lost.
Yeah. So
we just had the eating of the girl trying to save Sean. Mm-hmm. And now instead of them banding together and trying to figure out things, we have a scene where they fight with each other.
They bicker.
And bicker. And I just feel like, I think I said this last time, it'd just be more fun if they banded together and tried to solve their problems, mm-hmm. you know, Goonies style, rather than just laying into each other.
Make these kids feel like interesting and worth saving.
But yeah.
No. And I do like the fact here, though, that there's a storm coming and it's raining, because the rest of this movie is going to take place in a storm, right? Nope. It's just raining for that shot where they're throwing a rope, and then it's not anymore. So
cool.
Anyway, lost opportunity. That I want that movie. I mentioned that in an earlier episode. Like, where's my dark, dreary, rainy, not summery beach thing?
Yeah. Anyway,
that's what I wanted.
Which is funny, because apparently they were shooting this in like November and December. Like, mm-hmm. it was so cold out that they had to put ice cubes in their mouths.
Oh yeah.
To cool their breath down so it wouldn't show up on film.
Yeah.
So then we get the girl praying to God for help. Mm-hmm. Boy, I don't like this.
I feel like this. Yeah. The movie is just,
and it's not, it has nothing to do with religion or any of that. It just seems way too heavy handed. Like, it's just like, I don't know. Am I wrong here?
Like, no, I think so. I didn't specifically catch on to that as a problem point, but you're right. Like, that there's so much wrong with the movie from here to the end. And the thing that always catches me about this scene right after that is, like, the kids are so,
because it's her praying out loud that basically ends the arguing, right?
Yeah.
Which I just don't buy, mm-hmm. as far as teenagers go. But I don't know. And it's just like,
is it the girl that's doing the praying? I'm trying to remember.
I don't know. I guess on a philosophical level, like, I'm like, well, God made the shark too. Like, yeah.
It's God's will for these kids to be eaten by a shark. It's all part of his plan. That's how it works,
you know,
right?
On the third day, he made sharks, you know?
And the Lord made Bruce and saw that it was good.
I'm just like,
and the people did feast on orangutans and breakfast cereals. Sorry. It's my favorite movie about that.
Oh, anyway, God.
Yes. Yeah. Well, just I think the overarching thing of the rest of this movie is the kids are incompetent. Like, they're just falling in the water. They're fighting. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that that's not believable. That could very well happen if the kids were in that situation. But I don't want to watch it.
I would argue it is not believable, because they have spent the whole time being very competent seamen.
Yeah, they can sail a boat.
And, like, quickly and fast and, like, on one catamaran and, like, just doing all kinds of cool stuff. Like,
yeah.
And now they're just, like, dunderheads.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm remembering the praying scene now. Yeah. Like, they, and it's just, yeah, like a long, boring shot that shows her. It's, yeah. And then, oh man, sorry.
Yeah. The sigh.
This is where we're going to just get into trashing this movie now.
The sigh is well deserved. So then we get a scene of them making a big deal about how they're drifting, mm-hmm. and they're not going to make it to the power strip island.
Yes.
Yeah, you have this big long scene, and then all of a sudden, and then they start paddling, and they're like, no, what about the shark? And then they just get stuck on the ground underneath. Mm-hmm. And I was like, cool.
Yeah.
Ground ex machina.
Yeah, sorry.
I was like, why did we have all this stuff about drift and just to get them stuck on some rocks underneath? Like, I feel like we're lengthening the movie when we don't need to lengthen it.
Yes, it literally, yeah.
And if we were getting more out of these characters in these moments, great, but we're not.
I have such bigger problems. I almost can't see those things.
I don't know. This is just what I got.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right.
This is what I gleaned from one viewing.
Yes.
So,
yeah, and I think maybe this, yeah, I'm coming
at it.
And then
a very quick click through as I did my notes.
Yeah.
Because I 100% only watched this movie once.
Yeah. I fully tune out of this movie for the last 20 minutes because I think after you've seen it, you know, 20 times, you know that, like, okay, what happens from here on out? Like, yelling and screaming and the shark gets electrocuted. Like, that's...
Yeah, but it takes a half hour.
Yes, exactly. And there's... So here's... Okay, here's my, like, high points is that Brody finally shows up, right? After they've scraped the bottom and it's takes forever. And then they talk about Brody's going to, like, oh, I'm going to do this and you're going to do this and I'm going to do this and then you're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the shark pops up. With no buildup, no anticipation. And so Brody, you mentioned earlier that Brody's like building up, like the first time he gets verification from the shark, that it's really there. That's a missed opportunity because he doesn't react much. And now he sees the shark for the first time. Mm-hmm. It pops up right by the boat. And what does he do?
So just before that, I have we have a lot of the cousin again here, mm-hmm. and she's just shouting and shouting and shouting, and it just really grates. And I'm just like, oh God, I want that shark to eat that cousin so bad. I just wanted it so bad.
Yes.
And the movie seems to posit that we super care about this cousin.
So Brody should have picked up Sean.
I only care about her because she's next to Sean.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only reason.
Brody should have just picked up Sean and been like, later, dudes.
Yeah. Anyway. And then, you say Brody shows up and he's a cartoon.
Yeah. The shark pops his head out of the water and Brody's like, and guns it and crashes his boat.
Yeah. He goes straight Looney Tunes on us. Like,
we need Yakety Sax playing during this scene.
I know. Yeah. Shark pops its head through. Like the thing on the boat, which that's never happened yet, but somehow it does it now.
Oh, that later. Yeah. That scene scared me. I remember that like the first time I saw it, like that caught me off guard.
I think it's the worst the shark looks in the entire film.
I actually have watched, in rewatching for this recording, I watched that a bunch of times where the shark pops up through the
through
fabric.
Like the mesh thing.
Yes. I had to watch that a few times to figure out if it was a miniature because that scene. Just something about it. It's shot and edited in a way that I feel like it's a different shark. And
I just feel like it's a shark that we don't see very, I think it might be the quote unquote luxurious shark.
Yeah.
That we, by all intents, like never worked.
Okay. Yeah.
And they always got by with other sharks.
Which, and the shark popping up through the mesh of the catamaran, I suppose.
Did you want it to say, here's Johnny?
Yeah, that would have been more interesting. it serves.
And yes, I know that movie comes later than this movie, but
yeah,
I still can have fun.
Kubrick was probably shooting the movie at this point. So, yeah. You know, it came out 3 years later or 2 years later.
He does take forever.
The shark popping up through the bottom of the boat, the plot point it serves is it dumps all the kids off the boats. And they just swim to shore and immediately they're all safe.
Well, it does.
Except for the one girl.
It does go after Lisa.
And that's kind of a decently shot scene in and of itself.
But what the f*** is going on here? It comes right at her. She goes, no, 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 no. And it goes, yep, nope.
The shark got close and was like, not enough meat on those bones. Yeah. How can the shark...
But it rubs up against her and like cuts her like with its skin or something. Or?
Yeah, it's.
But why now? Why her?
I don't know what character motivation I'm looking for in a shark, but this the shark is just failing me miserably.
All over the place.
Yeah.
Like, it ate a freaking helicopter. And now it won't eat this nubile young woman right in front of its mouth.
Yeah. It'll jump up on a boat and it'll break a boat apart to get to somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll chase after someone dipping in and out of the water who is hard to get. Yeah. As soon as it's easy pickings, like, nope.
Nope.
No, anyway, just ate somebody.
So then we get the shark, him trying to get this shark to bite this cable. I know I'm skipping over a lot here, but yeah. I feel like it should be get skipped over.
Yes.
Nothing
of real
import. It's just a lot of hooks and cable and blah, blah, blah. It's just a lot of stuff.
It really feels like the filmmaker is just like, what are the beats we need to hit? Brody needs to get on. Okay, we need to get rid of his boat.
It honestly feels the ending of this film feels like we need to get to almost 2 hours and we're like 20 minutes. We have an hour. We have a 90 minute movie here and we need to get to 2 hours.
Yeah. It's so anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Like the stakes.
Well, and here's the problem. Getting the shark to bite this takes so long.
Mm-hmm.
And him knocking it and stuff and mm-hmm. making the sound and
climbing down the cable to get in the raft is like, again, like it's Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Like it's just going on way too long,
but and the problem with it going on way too long is it allows us as an audience to sit here. It goes on so long. We can literally think about the scene that we're in and realize how dumb it is.
Yeah. That's perfect. Yes.
Whereas if this happened very quickly,
yeah,
like an air tank getting shot and mm-hmm. blowing up in the shark's mouth, right. That's stupid too. But we buy it because we're not given a long time to really think about it.
Yeah.
And we're just satisfied by the ending that it gives us.
Yeah.
Whereas this is so protracted, it allows us to go, this is so ridiculous.
Yeah. And is the shark dumb or a genius? Because banging on the cable.
Like, well, the scientist, the lady Hooper.
Yeah.
Well, they are attracted to, you know, rhythmic sounds and electrical fields. I think she says something like that. For no real reason, she says that.
But I'm sorry, I skipped over what you were saying, just like the whole like protracted ending.
Yeah.
Being so, every time I would try to like analyze it and break it down, like all I can end up with as an answer is they had their ending. The shark's going to get electrocuted. And they just like, they're just like, I don't know how to get there. So don't.
I think him banging on it and I think they film it in a way where you get that the shark goes, oh, I got to go after this thing.
You just do it so much at the expense of your characters, but including the shark.
Well, and then they do it so slowly.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can just get there faster and like, or have him almost attacking Lisa and then that's why he turns away from her, because mm-hmm. he hears the thumping and wants to know what that is. That would make more sense. Like,
yeah. If you're really, if you're really Brody at this point, so all the kids are out of the water except for Sean and the cousin, mm-hmm. right? So presumably the only reason he's doing this whole power cord thing is because it's the only way to get those last two kids safe.
Yes.
Because he has no boat and he's in a raft.
Yeah.
He's not in a viable means of rescue. Or he could go like, well, let's figure out another way to get these two kids out of there. There's enough stuff going on.
Yeah, but he
on.
Wants to kill the shark.
Right. And that's like, that's the problem. Like in Jaws 1, he's like, that's his last option. I don't feel like he's out of options yet. He's just.
Oh, he's very much not.
Yeah. Like he's just like, I'm going to do this. And the way you mentioned before that it's.
Well, even the kids are like, no, don't do it. Like, what are you doing? They like, you hear kids say that. Like,
what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then why is there the whole, and you said it's long and I'm just saying the same thing. Why is there the whole scene where the shark loses interest in the kids? it starts swimming towards Brody, and then it goes down, and they just lose it for a minute, and they all sit around looking around, and then it comes back. Like,
that doesn't do anything. There's no tension built by that.
I can imagine if you've never seen the movie before, you tell me, like, are you going like, something scary is going to happen? No, it's just boring.
Yeah.
It's just like, can we get to the...
It's not exciting.
We all know where this is headed. Can we cut to the chase?
Yeah. Can we electrocute the shark already? Because I knew you were going to do that back in Act One when your deputy pulled up the electrical cord.
I do like the shot of the shark coming right at Brody.
Yes.
That's a cool shot.
It's a cool shot.
And
once again, there's cool things in this movie.
Yeah.
This movie just ends up not being cool, though.
Yep. Oh, Jaws 2.
So then it bites the cord.
Yep.
And then we get what tries to be a smile, you son of a bitch.
Open wide,
say ah.
Oh, that's so.
Oh, that's bad.
Groan inducing.
Yeah.
Even at 10 years old, I was like, nope. Yeah.
Then they electrocute this shark.
For a full minute. I was like, is it 27 minutes of screen time that the shark is electrocuting? Is it 1 minute you timed it?
It's 100% like, I mean, thereabouts. Like,
yeah.
It might be just a tiny bit less, but like, but all, I mean, maybe 58 seconds instead of a full minute, but it's nearly a full minute.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, it's 1 minute of screen time.
Yeah. That's crazy. What are you doing?
Milking it.
Anyway.
Everyone, let's just sit here and ponder.
I don't
the
like
the train wreck ending of Jaws 2. Not even ending, the last full quarter of Jaws 2.
Yeah. So then he goes over, he gets the cousin, who doesn't even say thank you.
Yeah.
That.
Oh,
why didn't she get eaten by that shark? Oh, I'm so mad.
Yeah.
Every scene she's in, she gets more and more unlikable as the movie progresses. And I just don't get what they're doing there. But I just hated her so much by the end of this film.
And she gets to be the one paddled off with the Brody's boys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm just mad that she's in there. Like, not even that she's alive. She can be alive, but I'm just like, of all the characters, you're going to have like literally row off into the sunset. Anyway.
Oh, and then you get Sean's line. They made me go with them.
To which Brody's like, oh, shucks. Or, I don't even know what he says.
He doesn't say anything. That's the last line of the film. They made me go with them.
And then he just like shoots him a grin like, you rascal.
You rascal. And I'm like, this is our I used to hate the water line. I can't imagine why, you know.
Yep.
And I was like, that is not what that is.
Nope.
I'm like, that is not good.
So.
That is like Welch's grape juice kid. Tell me how good the grape juice is.
So at the risk of being redundant. Because we're about to do this. To walk me through you and Kara ending this movie. Did you just...
Kara's like, oh boy. Which I was like, oh boy. I was like, so that was not good.
Did you recap like, I liked this and I didn't like this? Or were you, did the end of the movie so throw you off?
We did not really talk about it.
Yeah. But she was just like, thumbs down.
Yeah, she's like, there's some good parts, but man, she goes, that is not great.
Yeah. I'll summarize by saying there's a lot of technical competency in this movie.
It is a competently done film in a technical sense.
If you're the editor, you did good with what you had. Mm-hmm. If you're the actors, you'd probably elevated what was on the page.
I think so.
If you're the shark makers, you did what was asked of you and then some.
Mm-hmm.
But just, there's just so many like good, scary shark set pieces in this movie that are so good that they stick out like sore thumbs
mm-hmm.
against an otherwise pretty crappy movie. And there are three stars of this movie, John Williams.
Mm-hmm.
John Williams and John Williams. No, just kidding. Yeah. John Williams, Roy Scheider, and honestly, the shark. Pretty good.
The shark's really good.
I don't like the scar face on the shark, and something about the look of the shark, the lower jaw is like an, it's got like an underbite. I hate it.
Okay.
But that's my gripe on the shark. I honestly didn't have
a problem with the shark. Really, it's really only that one scene at the very end where it comes up through the catamaran through the mesh. Mm-hmm. That was really the only one where I was like, oh boy, I didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
All the other ones, I kind of just bought it. Like,
yeah.
I think there was a kind of a close up underwater where they really showed off the scar, and I didn't like that.
When the scuba divers get attacked.
It must be that.
It's a very gratuitous, like, there's a shark, there's the scar. See?
Yeah.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once again, I think Roy Scheider does a really good, really great job, actually, with what he's given. But his whole character seems just tonally off. Like, mm-hmm.
He's all over the place.
Yeah.
I don't think it's him.
No, I don't think it's him. But that's not the actor's job. The actor doesn't write the character. That's somebody else's job.
Yeah, and I know he fought.
He
didn't want to be on the movie, but he also fought like the director about character choices, and mm-hmm. he eventually relented. But we're going to talk about more behind the scenes stuff in a different episode.
Yeah. So the way this story is written, it's Howard Sackler again.
Yep.
Carl Gottlieb again.
Yep.
I think Howard Sackler did the first pass, and then once again, Gottlieb got brought in to punch it up. And
yep.
What I think he's going for here is this story is written for us much like the first Jaws, and we're not supposed to see the shark.
That's how it's.
So think about this movie. Okay. This is where I said I'd wrap around. I've been teasing this for a while.
Okay.
Okay. We should never see the shark in this film until the Tina and Eddie attack.
Because of the way it's written.
Because of the way it's written.
But if you were given the job in 1976 of directing Jaws 2.
There's no way they're going to let you do that. The studio's never going to let you do that.
I would argue that if I was, you know.
But think about what it, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Reality aside. Let's say you can make the film that way. Think about Roy Scheider's character then. If now as we as the audience haven't seen any evidence of a shark.
Right. So
now it's this guy. Now it becomes this real character piece of, is this guy just like PTSD, like just losing it because there's just been some kind of happenstance things that have happened?
That sounds like the version of the movie they were started to make and then change their mind.
But you could still have the boat blow up. You could have the skier go missing. You could have all these things. Mm-hmm. You could have divers boat just hanging out and you don't know why. And I just think it would make for such a more
That would be a good movie, but if I'm a 1978 audience goer, that's not the movie I want to see.
Oh, 100%.
No.
But I'm just saying that I believe that's how this was written.
Yes.
And then they went, we're going to show the shark all the time.
Yeah.
But then that makes everything else kind of fall apart, is my point.
Yeah. You're 100% right. So you're pitching your Jaws 2 sequel. You're pitching your Jaws sequel.
Well, I'm not pitching it this way. I'm telling you with what we have.
Right. So put all that aside. What's your Jaws 2 sequel? I keep saying your Jaws sequel.
Well, if I have to make it out of the hamburger I'm given here.
No, and I'm saying ignore that.
Oh.
I know this. There's a hamburger. You know, this movie can be fixed.
I'm just saying you could do an edit of this film.
With what you have?
With what you have and make this really weird character piece on Brody.
Mm-hmm.
And like have the entire audience doubting this man that they've come to love and is the mm-hmm. hero of the first film.
You cut out the photograph plot point. You cut out. Yeah, you do a version of the movie where you don't see the shark.
Yeah, basically through. Until the Tina and Eddie scene.
Right. And it's a 90 minute movie.
Yeah.
Maybe even less.
It'd be about a 90 minute movie probably.
Yeah.
And basically everything plays out. It'd still be weird.
It wouldn't be
electrocution ending, but,
it'd be mildly more interesting than what we were given.
Yeah.
And then the ending, you just tighten it. You get to the electrocution way faster.
Way faster. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, basically. Yeah. So,
but what's your, okay. All that aside, what's your Jaws sequel pitch?
Oh, I would go.
Steven Spielberg's was, to do the Indianapolis.
100%.
Okay.
You just don't even, you don't even try to sequelize it. You just anthologize it.
It's another shark story.
Don't even try to sequelize it.
Okay. So you
that's the problem with the Jaws franchise.
You can't do that. Oh yeah. You can't do that. The studio says the job's yours, but we need the Brodies on Amity Island, or we need the Brodies and a shark.
Okay.
They could be on vacation in Hawaii. Sorry, I keep getting off mic.
Yeah.
They could be in vacation in Hawaii. The boys could be working at SeaWorld. You need to do a Jaws sequel.
Well, isn't that what Jaws 3 is?
Yes.
At least what I've heard.
Yep. Ellen Brody could be vacationing in the Bahamas.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't.
There's no good way to do it.
Well, not if you keep the Brodies in it.
Well, you have to get over a horrible like conceit that it's still the Brodies. Yes.
Like why is it this one family that's constantly getting attacked by sharks? That's a huge
plot hurdle that you can completely avoid by just ignoring. Yeah. Just.
Yeah. What if it's just another
shark in another place?
In another place with different people.
That would have been better.
Yeah.
And then there's, if you're a, so the Zanuck and Brown, they would be like, no, our audience wants to see the Brodies. I would argue if I was an executive, like, yeah, but then.
Well, what if this? How about this? Because you have a different shark in a different town. You have, let's say you have it off the Oregon coast. We have great whites here.
Yeah.
Okay. You have it happening in Astoria Harbor or something.
I love this movie already.
Okay. And then what do? You hear about, 3 years ago, they had a horrible shark that was terrorizing this town. Mm-hmm. Get on the horn.
Yep.
Local chief gets on the horn, brings in the outside chief.
Here's your better sequel.
Boom, you get Brody back. And he doesn't have anything to do with this shark other Hooper. Than he knows what to do. Like, he's done it before as a chief of, and it's police chiefs together, you know, working.
What about Hooper? It's his job to go where sharks are.
To go where sharks are. Absolutely. Yeah.
So there's another shark off the Oregon coast and they,
100%.
The storyline of Jaws is all over the news and Hooper is now, you create a franchise on like, you know, Hooper, you know, sharks are around, you call in Matt Hooper, Shark Buster.
Yeah. Shark Buster. Absolutely.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And you just make a whole different story.
Yeah.
Similar structure, but just, you know, different characters.
Yeah.
That's my way better sequel.
Yeah.
And you're not stuck to why do the sharks keep pursuing the
Brodies? And this was me. This is me literally coming up with that, like, as you posited the question.
Yes.
Like, cause I put zero thought into it.
Yes. And I had I've had this thought for years.
Yeah.
Like, the worst thing that's happening in the Jaws sequels is that the sharks are coming after the Brodies. And that is just the worst. Like, no, like, make someone go after, like, it's the other way around. And the best character in Jaws 1 to do that is Hooper.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, is Richard Dreyfuss going to sign up for a bunch of Jaws sequels? Probably not.
Probably not.
Especially after coming off of Close Encounters, but.
Sure.
And is Roy Scheider going to come back to the Jaws franchise? Well, we know he didn't really want to. Mm-hmm. But had Jaws 2 been made a different way, I don't see Brody's character being like, I'm just making to make my life chasing sharks now. Anyway, that's my Jaws 2.
Well, that's it.
Plot pitch. That was our discussion of Jaws 2, the movie. However, we're not done with Jaws 2. Or Jaws 1 for that matter. So just stay subscribed and we're going to talk more about Jaws 2 and
might have some special guests coming on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to stay tuned. We're working on it. We're going to see what happens.
Plus, we got a lot of other fun films coming down the pipe here. Going to get this same sort of deep dive treatment like we did with Jaws 2. So let us know what you think and check out the PayPal down in the description. We always appreciate a little help there. These things do cost money. Anything you can send our way is greatly appreciated.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on The Real Jaws Minute.
Bye. Bye.